Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want to welcome you to day four of our 21-day Make Room prayer call. I pray you all are doing well and that your prayer and fasting journey has been rewarding thus far. It's been a joy hearing how many of you are making room for God. I think after these 21 days are over, we should create space during our worship service for some of you to share your testimony. Because here's the truth, your testimony isn't just your story, it's your evidence. It's living proof that God is who God says God is and that God's word works. Testimonies have a way of putting courage in somebody else. When you tell how God brought you through it, it reminds someone else that God can bring them through too. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That means your victory isn't just personal, it's contagious. When you testify, you're not bragging about you, you're bragging on God. And I believe some of you, before these 21 days are over, are going to have a testimony that will shake the doubt right out of someone's heart. So I'm excited to see how God is building something in us day by day. Each word we've focused on this week has been a step forward in this journey. On day one, we started with cleanse, asking God to wash us from the inside out, to remove anything that's been clouding our vision of him. On day two, we move to cast, making the decision to release every weight, distraction, and act of disobedience that was slowing us down. On day three, yesterday, we went even deeper with the word crush, destroying the root of the problem so it can't grow back, dealing with the hidden source instead of just trimming the visible symptoms. Now today, on day four, we arrive at the beautiful result of that work. We've made room. We've dealt with the clutter, the weights, and the roots. So what's left? A clear path, a clear mind, a clear vision. The first 3 days were about what we had to get rid of. Today is about what God has made possible. Our word for today is clear. Our key verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is the perfect scripture for where we are in the journey. Because a clear path is never the result of our own striving. It's the result of God's guidance. Notice that the verse doesn't say you will make your path straight. It says God will. That means clarity is not something we force. It's something we receive when we trust, lean, and acknowledge him in every area of our lives. Some of you remember that night in July 1999 when the world woke up to the tragic news about John F. Kennedy Jr., affectionately known as John John. It was supposed to be a joyful weekend. The cast was off his ankle. He was flying again. And there was a family wedding to celebrate. He was taking his wife, Carolyn, and her sister to Massachusetts with a quick stop in Martha's Vineyard. But conditions that night were tricky. Visibility changed quickly from clear to hazy. And although Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he wasn't cleared for instrument only flying. Delays pushed his takeoff into darkness. And instead of waiting for daylight or bringing along a more experienced co-pilot, he chose to go anyway. Somewhere over the Atlantic, he encountered what pilots call black hole vertigo, a dangerous condition where what you feel in your body and what is actually happening are completely different. The plane might feel like it's veering one way, but the instruments say something else entirely. In that moment, the only way to survive is to trust the instrument panel, not your instincts, not your perception, not your gut. Investigators determined that Kennedy's inexperience led him to trust what he thought he saw instead of what his instruments were telling him. By the time his instincts and the gauges matched up, it was too late. The plane descended into darkness and three lives were lost. Some of you on this call know a thing or two about black hole vertigo. Not in the cockpit of a plane, but in the cockpit of your life. It's that season when your emotions, your instincts, and your circumstances are telling you one thing, but God's word is saying something completely different. You feel like you're moving forward, but in reality, you're drifting. You feel like you're climbing, but you're actually descending. Have you ever been there before? You thought you were on the rise, relationships improving, business taking off, ministry gaining momentum, but deep down something felt off. You were gaining altitude in the eyes of the world, but losing alignment in the eyes of God. Have you ever been in a season where every door seemed to be opening, but your prayer life was quietly closing? Have you ever had everyone around you clapping, but in the silence of your own soul, you knew God wasn't applauding the same thing? Have you ever been so busy doing good things that you didn't notice you had drifted away from the God thing? Have you ever hit a milestone, the promotion, the position, the platform, only to realize you left peace and purpose somewhere back on the runway? Have you ever felt like you were moving faster than the Spirit was leading, so you had to pretend the turbulence in your soul wasn't real? Well, church, that's spiritual black hole vertigo. When you trust what you see and feel more than the instruments of God's word. It's why the word for today is clear, not clear in your own eyes, but clear because you're aligned with the one who directs your path, even when everything in you says to turn another way. So, how do we find clarity in a world full of spiritual vertigo? How do we stop trusting our feelings and start trusting God's instruments? Well, it comes back to our key verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This passage isn't a suggestion. It's a divine prescription for regaining alignment. First, the verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust is the ultimate instrument of guidance. It's the decision to override what you see and what you feel and to place your faith in the one who knows the end from the beginning. It's the pilot's deliberate choice to believe the gauges over their own senses. Now, I don't want you to confuse trust with resignation. Trust is not ignoring how you feel or pretending the severity of the situation doesn't exist. Resignation says, I give up. There's nothing I can do, so I'm just going to sit on the dock of the bay and watch the tide roll away. That's passivity. But trust is active. It is a powerful and active choice that says, I see the storm, I feel the turbulence, but I choose to believe in the one who commands the winds and the waves. So when you trust like that, you're not pretending the clouds aren't thick or that the storm isn't real. You're choosing to take your cues from the one whose perspective is higher than yours. You're saying, Lord, I'm not going to fly blind based on my feelings. I'm going to fly steady based on your truth. Because here's the thing, y'all. Clarity doesn't come from the absence of storms. It comes from the presence of the right guidance in the storm. A skilled pilot can land a plane, watch this, in zero visibility because they've learned to read the instruments. A mature believer can move forward in the darkest season because they've learned to read the word. Now, I know I just messed some of you up because you want clear to mean every question is answered, every detail is mapped out, and every why is explained. The moment you heard the word for the day clear, you got happy because you were hoping it meant a season of smooth sailing. You were hoping it meant God was about to give you the GPS coordinates for every turn you need to make. You were hoping it meant all the uncertainty and the turbulence would finally stop. But that's not biblical clarity. God's version of clear is not the same as control. God's clarity is not about you knowing everything. It's about you knowing God. Here it is. You can have a crystal clear picture of the road ahead and still crash if you're leaning on your own understanding. I was 15 years old learning how to drive. And one Sunday morning, my dad let me get behind the wheel on our way to church. Now, my vision was crystal clear. No rain, clean windshield, hardly any traffic. It's Sunday morning. So we're cruising down Bessemer Superhighway, coming up to turn left on Highway 150. The light was green. And in my mind, that meant the cars were going to stop and let me turn. But the moment my dad realized I wasn't slowing down to yield, he reached over, grabbed the steering wheel, and told me to get out. He drove the last 2 minutes to church himself. The conditions were clear, but my judgment was off. I was relying on my own understanding, and it almost put us in a collision. See, you can have a crystal clear picture of the road ahead and still crash if you're leaning on your own understanding. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You had the perfect business plan, every detail mapped out, every number adding up, but you still crashed. You had the relationship you prayed for, dates on the calendar, rings on fingers, but you still crashed. You had the ministry strategy, the right people in place, the momentum building, but you still crashed because clarity in your own eyes is not the same as clarity in God's eyes. You can see every turn and every lane on your map, but if you're not aligned with God's direction, you're still on a collision course. That's why clear today isn't about you having all the answers. It's about you having the right alignment. It's about trusting the one who sees the end from the beginning, the one who doesn't just clear the path, but keeps you on it. And I believe some of you on this call have finally reached that point in your life. I've had conversations with many of you. After all these crashes, all these wrong turns, all these moments where you swore the road was clear, you're finally saying, Lord, I don't just want clear weather. I want clear direction. Lord, I don't want just an open road. I want the right road. Lord, I don't just want visibility. I want vision, because I done wasted a lot of time doing things that looked good, that felt good, and that everybody else was clapping for. I've wasted time on roads that were well paved, but went nowhere God wanted me to go. I've wasted time and energy trying to make my own way straight when all along God was just waiting for me to acknowledge him. And if that's you today, it's a beautiful place to be. It's the place where you finally get that clarity. You finally get that clarity isn't about having all the answers. It's about having the right guide. It's the place where you realize that God's purpose is always better than our plan. It's the place where you finally decide to start relying on your own understanding and start trusting God's direction. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Now, the word straight comes from the Hebrew word yasher, which means to make straight, to make smooth, or to make right. If we think in literal terms for a moment, we can recognize that a path itself is not the same as what we encounter along a path, or even the same as the area that path travels through. A path can be straight but still have hills to climb, or be smooth but still be in areas where there are potholes and attacks or terrible storms might occur. It can be a right path, a path of righteousness, but still go through the valley of the shadow of death. Y'all get what I'm saying? So straight, smooth, and right don't mean easy. The whole point of a path is to lead to a particular destination. Because if we are not on a straight path, what kind of path are we on? Is it a circular one, the kind that loops around the same mountain year after year, where you keep passing the same scenery, fighting the same battles, never actually getting closer to your destination? Or maybe it's a crooked path, one that looks good from the outside, but keeps veering you subtly off course until you end up far from where God intended. Some of us have been on cluttered paths full of obstacles, distractions, and unnecessary detours that keep us tripping over things God never told us to carry. And then there's the confusing path, the one where you've got too many voices telling you which way to go. And instead of listening to the one voice that matters, you've been zigzagging through life, exhausted and unsure if you're even headed in the right direction. But when God makes your path yasher, straight, smooth, and right, it doesn't mean the terrain changes overnight. It means that even if you still got hills to climb and valleys to walk through, you're on a course that's headed exactly where God wants you to be. That's the power of a clear path. So, Pastor, how do I know if I'm not on a straight path? You will be missing three things: no peace, no progress, and no presence. You're moving, but you can't rest. No peace. You're busy, but you're not actually getting closer to the thing God promised. No progress. You're doing the right activities, but without a sense of God's anointing. No presence. But here's the good news. If you can recognize you're not on the straight path, you can also return to the right path. And you don't get back by trying harder. You get back by acknowledging God, by saying, "Lord, I surrender my map, my route, and my timeline. You take the lead." Because the only thing better than clear skies is a clear path. And a clear path is always the one God directs. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning with hearts full of gratitude. It was you who woke us up this morning. It was you who gave us strength in our bodies, breath in our lungs, and the mind to know that this is another day's journey, and we're glad about it. We thank you that even if everything ain't perfect, things are as well as they are, and that is evidence of your mercy and grace. And Lord, as we think about your goodness, our hearts can't help but reflect on every single mile of this journey. We remember the nights you carried us when we didn't have the strength to take another step. We remember the valleys you walked us through, the storms you spoke peace to, and the doors you opened that no one can shut. That's why we lift our voices today. not because the path been perfect, but because you've been faithful every step of the way. For every mountain you brought us over, for every trial you've seen us through, for every blessing we shout hallelujah, for this we give you praise. We praise you for what you have done, and we worship you for who you are. You are Alpha and Omega, the one who stands at the beginning and the end and yet holds every moment in between. You are our refuge in the storm, our shepherd in the valley, our banner in battle, our provider in lack. You're our peace in chaos and our joy in sorrow. You're faithful when we're faithless. You're merciful when we deserve judgment, and you're gracious beyond our comprehension. Your love is steadfast. Your power is unmatched. Your wisdom is unsearchable. You speak and worlds come into being. You breathe and dry bones live again. You're holy and righteous and altogether worthy of our highest praise. And for this, for who you are and for all that you have done, we lift our hands and we raise our voices and we declare hallelujah. Not because everything is right, but we shout it because you've been constant when everything around us been shifting. Because you've been our healer when we were hurting, our provider when we were lacking, our peace in the midst of chaos, and our joy when sorrow tried to take us out. We shout it because the cross is still enough. The tomb is still empty and your throne is still occupied. And as long as you are high and lifted up, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. As long as you are high and lifted up, every tongue that rises against us will be condemned. As long as you are high and lifted up, the enemy's plots will turn into stepping stones, and the traps he set will become testimonies of your deliverance. And so we war in the spirit today, declaring that sickness will not win, that fear will not hold us, and that lack will not define us. We tear down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of you, and we pull down every stronghold in the mind, and we lift up the name of Jesus, because when you are lifted, chains break. When you are lifted, yokes are destroyed. When you are lifted, captives go free. As long as you are high and lifted up, the earth is your footstool, and nothing the enemy does can stand against the power of your name. So we're going to go ahead on and decree some things today, Father. We decree that the joy of the Lord is our strength, joy that the world didn't give and joy that the world can't take away. We declare and we decree that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds, even in chaos, confusion, and crisis. We decree that the favor of God surrounds us like a shield, opening doors no man can shut and shutting doors no man can open. We decree that as long as you are high and lifted up, every plot of the enemy will backfire, every curse will be reversed, and every crooked path will be made straight. We decree it today, that our steps are ordered by the Lord, and no detour, no delay, no distraction can derail your plan for our lives. So cover us today. We confess that without you, we are vulnerable, exposed to every lie of the enemy, swayed by every shifting wind, distracted by every passing shadow. We confess that we've leaned too often to our own understanding, making moves you never approve, taking paths you never pave. We confess that we have sometimes trusted our feelings more than your word, our instincts more than your spirit, and our paths and our plans more than your promises. But today we return. We return to your covering, Lord. We return to your clarity. So cover our minds so that they stay fixed on truth. Cover our hearts so they remain tender to your leading. Cover our steps so they align with your path. And cover our homes, cover our families and our ministries so the enemy finds no foothold. And we declare that under your covering, we will move forward, not in fear, but in faith, not in confusion, but in clarity, not in defeat, but in victory. Oh, so when we go to work today, and when we walk into that school, and when we sit in the waiting room for that doctor's appointment, And when we step into spaces that feel unpredictable or overwhelming, we walk in covered. Covered in the blood that speaks a better word than our past mistakes. We don't walk in timid. We walk in aligned. We don't walk in uncertain. We walk in clear. We don't walk in under attack. We walk in with the authority of the one who said, "Lo, I am with you always." So right now, I want you to repeat after me. Our declaration for today. Say it with me. My mind is clear. My heart is clear. My path is clear. I walk in divine alignment, divine clarity, and divine authority. Today, I will move forward with vision, precision, and confidence because my steps are ordered by the Lord. In Jesus' name, it is so, and it shall not be otherwise. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you for tuning in this morning to our Make Room prayer call. Be a blessing. Share it with someone. Don't take this journey by yourself. Remind them that the replay will be posted on our website this morning at gracechurchal.com. Hey, listen, I am rooting for you. I am praying for you today. So be watchful. Be aware of your surroundings and be encouraged. Peace.